thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and this service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We send this broadcast forth with a prayer that it be a real blessing to our congregation. We're opening our service with a selection, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life.
Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege of sharing this service with this precious people today. We're so thankful for the love of God, so thankful for the gift of your dear Son. And we realize that you love the entire world of people, and you gave your Son for all, that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. So as this service goes forth, we pray that it will be accompanied by the precious Holy Spirit, and our hearts shall be benefited and blessed thereby, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our service now with the selection, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting. Thank you.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Daniel, a man ready for life's challenges. And our text of scripture is Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The eunuch who was in charge of them questioned that, but Daniel said, well, you let us just have vegetables. Try us for 10 days and see what happens. And at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his friends looked fairer and brighter than any of the rest. And so the eunuch continued to allow Daniel to provide or to proceed with his diet. And Daniel proved to be a very useful person in the kingdom of God and in that kingdom as well. Daniel was someone who had been carried away from Judah to Babylon. We understand that he was approximately 16 years of age when he was taken to Babylon as a captive. And as that, he, of course, was a young man who stood by his godly convictions. As I have just read, he refused to eat the king's meat or to drink his wine, and he ate only vegetables. Why did he refuse the king's meat? Because the law of God forbid them to eat meat that was offered to idols. And of course, Babylon had many gods there, and Daniel did not know what he might be served some meats that had been offered to idols, and he did not want to defile himself by disobeying God's law. And so Daniel did not blend in with Babylon, their lifestyle. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12 and 2. Yes, that is a New Testament scripture. Nevertheless, Daniel lived that kind of a life. He refused to conform to the ways of the Babylonians, and he continued to fear God and endeavor to keep God's commandments, which also tells us that young people can live the Christian life even in the sinful world in which we are living today. Again, Daniel presumably was about 16 years of age. He was put in college there for 3 years to learn of the ways of the Babylonian government so that he might become a government official, and he proved to be a very successful student at that. Now, Daniel's commitment to God was deep. Daniel purposed in his heart. It is in the heart that we must love God if we're going to serve God. We cannot serve God having a mere form of godliness and denying the power thereof. So Daniel had a deep commitment to the Lord, and he purposed in his heart that he would do the will of God. Daniel served a number of kings over a period of 70 years, and even in his old age, he was faithful to his God. He had a deeper motive than merely to show defiance towards his captors. No, he wasn't just trying to show defiance to them. He was endeavoring to keep the commitment that he had made to God. He did all that he was given to do, unless it was something contrary to the law of God. So Daniel reflected his commitment to God by not trying to seek worldly honor or pomp or power of the royal palace. It was reflected in his accepting the risk of not conforming to Babylon's practices. He refused to worship any of their gods. The Bible does not tell us where he was when the three Hebrew children refused to bow to that image out there on the plains of Dura, but I'm sure that if Daniel would have been there, he would have refused to bow even as the three Hebrews did. Now, if he had not stood by his commandment or commitment to God, we probably would never have heard of the man Daniel. Now, secondly, Daniel's commitment to God was lasting, and Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus, Daniel 1:21. Cyrus, of course, was a king of Persia, and the Medo-Persian kingdom had overrun Babylon and defeated it. So Daniel continued in service to a number of kings. And as an old man, possibly around 90 years of age, he was still faithful and strong in his commitment to the Lord. He did not lose his vision of the truth, although idol worship was all around him. He had told Nebuchadnezzar, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days." So we read in Daniel 2:28. And that was dealing with a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. He had a dream, and supposedly it went from him. And he called his astrologers and wise men, soothsayers, in to tell him the dream and to tell him the meaning of it. And they told him no man on earth would require such a thing as that. They couldn't do that. But he ordered them to be put to death. And Daniel was one of those that was going to be put to death. But Daniel asked, "Why is the king in such a hurry? Give me some time." And so he and his friends gathered together in prayer, and God revealed to him the dream and the meaning of it. And he went in before Nebuchadnezzar, and he told him about that great image that had four parts, and how that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was the head of gold. Then there would be another kingdom, the Medo-Persian, then the third kingdom, the Grecian, and the fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom. So Daniel was a wise man who was able to tell him, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." You know what the king did? He bowed before Daniel and worshiped him, and he promoted Daniel in his kingdom. Now that God was still his God in his old age. So his commitment was lasting. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. So we read in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And so Daniel was the top of the three presidents, and of course it says there were 120 princes who were ruling over the whole, not just the province of Babylon, but over the whole provinces. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. They were jealous of Daniel, and they endeavored to find fault with him. And they searched the records, and they couldn't find anything wrong. Daniel was not dealing in any false way. He was not siphoning off anything for himself. And so they said, "The only way that we're going to find anything against this man is to find something against him concerning his God." And so they went to the king, Darius, claiming that all of them had agreed, which was a lie. Daniel had nothing to do with it, but they told the king that all of them had agreed that he should make a decree that no one was to ask or make any petition of anybody except the king for 30 days. Now, Daniel had a habit of praying 3 times a day, and they knew that, and that's the way they were going to endeavor to get something against him. And so after the decree was signed, Daniel went in his house, raised the window, looking towards Jerusalem, and prayed. Now, old Satan may have whispered in his mind, "You can pray silently and they won't hear you." But Daniel was used to praying out loud, and so he prayed out loud. And those other fellows that were trying to get something on Daniel, they were waiting outside of his house, and they were not disappointed. They had confidence in him, and they were not disappointed. They heard Daniel praying just like he had been before. And so they went to the king and told him, "That man Daniel has disobeyed your decree." And whenever they told the king that, the king was displeased with himself, for he felt like that those men had tricked him into signing that decree. And so he searched the records, trying to find some way that he could get out of putting Daniel in the lion's den, but he could not. And they reminded him that the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed, and you're not going to change it. You've got to put Daniel in that lion's den. And so he did not eat his feast that night, or pray, or have the music rather. And he stayed up, I guess, all night. The next morning he went down to the mouth of the tomb where Daniel had been put in the lion's den. And he called down to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve able to deliver you?" And Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. My God sent his angel and locked those jaws of those lions, and they have not hurt me. I am perfectly well." And so Darius ordered them to get Daniel up out of that lion's den, and he was so thankful that Daniel had been spared. But you know what? He told them to go get those men that had tricked him into signing that decree. Get them and get their families and bring them here to the lion's den and toss them in. Yes, that's exactly what he told them to do. And they did. And as they tossed those people down in the lion's den, the lions didn't even let them land on the floor till they were taking a hold of them and tearing them to pieces and eating them. Now, the end results of Daniel's faithfulness was that God honored him in all that he did. Daniel was delivered from the lion's den, and he was delivered from everything else that they tried to get on him or to mistreat him, and he was faithful unto God. Yes, Daniel was a man ready for life's challenges, and he faced those challenges by committing his all unto God. Then King Darius wrote unto all the nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion, he shall be even unto the end." So we read in Daniel 6 and 25 and 26. That's exactly what Daniel had told Nebuchadnezzar when he was interpreting that dream for him. He said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. It shall not be left to other people. It shall stand forever. And Daniel also told King Nebuchadnezzar about that stone that was cut out of the mountain that struck that image on his feet and destroyed it. And that stone represented Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And that's why we read in the book of Mark, in the first chapter, when Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom of God, he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So Jesus said, the prophecy that Daniel made, or the interpretation of the dream that Daniel made for Nebuchadnezzar, that had come to pass in the days of these kings. And that was whenever the kingdom of God destroyed those images, or the image with the four parts. Yes, the kingdom of God is a present reality, and it's not a thousand-year duration, and it's not a literal kingdom here on earth. It is a spiritual kingdom. Paul said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not literal, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So this Daniel was prospered in the reign of Darius, just like he had been in all the other kings on up through the Cyrus, the king of Persia. Our commitment to God needs to be early, it needs to be deep, and it needs to be lasting, just as Daniel's was. And we too need to have a victorious prayer life, even as Daniel had. As I've said many times, to live a victorious Christian life, you must have a victorious prayer life. Jesus said men should always pray and not to faint. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with our precious congregation today. We're trusting the Holy Spirit will be able to use them to be a blessing and an enlightenment to hearts. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. Trust it has been a blessing, and we invite you to be with us next week when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
We have heard.